T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I woke up yesterday morning to a text from my dad canceling Father's Day.
Okay, Matt and Lowell.
I love my dad, but as somebody who has faked sick to get out of things before, some might even say recently, I think he just wanted a day to himself on the couch. I bought 4 racks of ribs. I made some sausage, like made my own sausage, made some stuffed mushrooms. I was going to bring my smoker over there. We're going to sit there all day and just smoke these meats.
Come to Homer's BBBQ. The extra B is for BYOBB. What's that extra B for?
That's a typo.
And he canceled Father's Day. I woke up in the middle of the night sick. I'm not feeling great today. Okay, liar.
Yeah, that's the biggest lie of all time.
So I sat on my front porch by myself all day.
Sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it sounds great. He's listening to the show, and what did he say?
Yeah, I forget that he's never not listening to the show.
When you talk about him.
Yeah, and I'm kind of unhinged on here. he just texted me, I was sick. Which, frankly, is not very convincing.
That's something that someone who lied about being sick would say.
He forgets that I just did this last week. I know what it sounds like to not actually
runs
be sick.
Runs in the family.
One, two, three.
And here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go, Tim.
Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Bunch of people faking sick around here. Shane faking sick, Shane's dad faking sick on Father's Day. Tanny actually just put in a vacation day to go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he just ate no lying with that guy, as far as we know, unless he's not actually in Pittsburgh, and that's a ruse. But
it'd be weird because I got him tickets.
Yeah, and pretty sure there's nowhere else he'd rather be than a White Sox game away from all responsibilities in another town with a beautiful ballpark. So I hope Tanny and Herb are having fun out there in Pittsburgh.
Brendan McCaffrey, too. He can have fun.
And bonus, Ben Rosen.
The
spawn of the boss is out there, and I believe all of those people are going to gather for a beverage or three at some point during the ball game.
That's exciting.
I agree.
That's great.
It's delightful.
Yeah, Mitch's son is a vendor at Guaranteed Rate, but then did a road game as a vendor in Minnesota.
He's a very high prospect on the White Sox vendor list, and they rent them out when other teams in the AL Central need help.
I did
just
not
a
know.
Traveling vendor? That can't.
They put him up in a hotel.
It's true. No, it's absolutely true. Certain teams needed vendors all of a sudden because all their vendors quit and didn't want to come back, so they recruited vendors from Chicago.
Yeah, Ben's a scab vendor. So crossing the picket lines.
No, I like it better that he's a prospect. He's a 5-tool prospect. Could they get some middle infield help for Ben Rosen if they trade him away, completely as a vendor?
I think he's such a Meatball Sox fan that he'd be fine with it.
Yeah, he probably would.
Trade me to Minnesota. That's not a problem.
That's fine.
Just bring a backup second baseman to my baseball team.
We're getting Jorge Polanco?
Oh, yeah. He's way more valuable than me.
I totally get it.
I can sell Dippin' Dots anywhere. Wow. Hold on, I want to understand the logistics of this for the team that pays for it. So the Minnesota Twins paid for a hotel room. Did he have to pay to get himself there?
I don't think so. I think everything was expensed.
Everything was expensed, and then he got to keep the money that he made vending.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a tip situation. I think he probably worked a stand like he does at the cell.
But Minneapolis is a big city. Why can't breaking. They?
There's no way.
Why are they importing vendors?
Look, they needed vendors with experience.
There's no way that this makes financial sense for
no
the Twins.
No chance
that this math adds up.
We're bringing in a 21-year-old drunk college kid from Chicago to sell the ice cream of the future in a cold weather city and putting him up in a hotel?
We're paying his transportation and his hotel so he can make a $4.50 margin.
If the qualifications were 21-year-old drunk college kid, they couldn't find that in Minneapolis, apparently.
Yeah, the guy, I mean, Minnesota's there. There's a lot
amazing
of colleges.
Why
there.
Is it so hard for you to believe that Ben is just that good at vending that they wanted him?
Because
it's impossible for me to believe.
Because he's watched Mitch do his job? That's not something you should say out loud.
No, it has nothing to do with
so
quality.
So don't say that out loud.
Vendor, don't say that out loud.
Oh, were you just reading a text again?
Yes.
Just reading a text.
Somebody else said that. No, but here's the thing.
Vendor is.
This explains a lot about the Twins to me. Really, it's like they haven't won a playoff series in a long, long time. And I think now we know why. They're investing too much in vendors, in vendor recruitment.
And speaking of the Twins not doing things right, Byron Buxton is now getting injuries caused by sports he doesn't even play. The fracture in his hand is called a boxing fracture, a boxer's fracture.
That's so sad, dude.
It's so sad.
That guy is so good. He's so powerful and fast, and he just keeps getting hurt. And it's good to be here in Minnesota doing talk radio.
It is. It's a beautiful city. I love fishing at all of the lakes. Mac is very popular here.
Land of 10,000 lakes.
Yeah. 10,000 at least.
So,
they counted them.
So
my dad recently caught a big, nice largemouth bass in Minnesota. Fun fact.
Well, there you go.
Dynamite drop in, Monty.
You're welcome. Hey, while we're talking about random stuff, I figured might as well.
Yeah, no, you took a swing.
Yeah, my wife took a business trip to Minnesota, and two different days she found a little lake and walked around the lake. So,
well,
two
it's
down.
Minneapolis, St. Paul. There's two of them.
Two down.
It's called the Twin Cities.
9,998 lakes to go.
That's good.
She's going to knock them out one lake at a time.
That's good.
Two every business trip.
Sports? Any sports?
I like sports.
Okay.
That was kind of a gangster move by David Ross last night as a manager to yank your shortstop, your beloved crowd favorite shortstop, and tell him he's done for the night and put in the very surprised Sergio Alcantara out there. And it cost him a run. It probably cost him a run, Alcantara making the play, but it's certainly bigger than that. I was very, very surprised at that move by Ross.
I was surprised because it's not the first time that Javi or other players on the Cubs have had similarly boneheaded moves. It's the type of thing that we've seen. So it clearly was a culmination moment, right? That's obvious because we've seen these things before from the Cubs. And so this is a classic example of they know more than we do, and it built to this moment. But I'm with you. I was surprised, and we'll talk about the Ross component, but I also want to talk about the Javi component because he is a breathtaking baseball player who's wildly fun, but is just a man of extremes. Extreme, terrible strikeout-to-walk ratio. Swing and miss rate.
43.9% strikeout rate in June for Javier Baez.
Just preposterous.
Frustrated.
Very frustrating. But crazy fun, unbelievable power, plays to the crowd. It's just, he is a paradox. He is a conundrum. Like he's so good. So when he is bad or maddening or frustrating, it makes you want to pull your hair out because you hold your best players to the highest of standards.
Sure.
And he fell very short of that yesterday. But let's talk about David Ross's move. Because that was a statement move for him, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, and he referenced the move with Kyle Schwarber last year. And he referenced as he was talking about it after the game that, look, there's probably more to that than you guys know. There's always more to this. Don't just focus on the play and be like, what? He took out Javi after he did that? Friday and Saturday were the worst Cubs games maybe of the year. And they played some stinkers in the first couple weeks. But Saturday, man, that Marlins loss, that 11-1 loss, was horrific on every level. Just, terrible offense, terrible pitching, terrible defense. They let pop-ups drop. like a couple of them. In the infield, one foul, one fair. The Marlins are stealing every base, whatever base is available.
It was very casual.
They were stealing, and Ross was embarrassed after that game. After the game, he talked about just wanting to flush it. I don't know what you do except flush it. Listen to David Ross pregame from Sunday talking about the way that they played and how he felt about it. This is Sunday morning.
From a manager standpoint, you want your team to represent you and the things you value and good fundamental baseball and good execution and good base running, good defense and all those things. And I don't know that we did that yesterday. So, like, I take that personally that, you know, that's a reflection of me.
That's a reflection of me. He takes it personally. And he does. He gives a crap. And all those times that we've called out a team for when a team is playing like ass, like, hey, that's a reflection of the manager. It is. It absolutely is. And so he's feeling that. So they squeak out a win on Sunday. Okay, great. But then there they are last night. And before that moment with Javi, he's done other things personally, as you know, and could recount.
Yeah.
But last night, 0 for 2 with some bad at-bats again, swinging at everything in June. And then he's on first base last night during that Rizzo at-bat on one of the pitches. He's not taking his normal lead. He's just like about a foot off first base, not really moving. On another pitch, he's standing on the bag. Standing on the bag, man. And Ross is looking at that. He's looking at that, and he's thinking about those horrific losses and what they've been doing. It's like, what are you doing? And then
he forgets the number of outs.
Then he forgets the number of outs. And look what he does at the end of that. He runs, and then he realizes, oh, no, I screwed it up. He doesn't turn around and try to hustle in case they miss a throw.
Right.
And there's an opportunity for him to get back. He doesn't do that. He doesn't bother to do that. And he throws his arms up like it's somebody else's fault.
He was disengaged.
Yeah.
Very, very clearly. And
That's a lot there, right?
There's a ton there. And so I don't know, and I didn't see many people, frankly, who had a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see a couple texters right now saying they disagreed with it, but
my wife disagreed with it at the time. She's like, you can't do that to Javi. You can't break
accountability
his spirit like that.
Break his spirit,
yeah,
though.
Yeah,
I don't know that his spirit gets broken. And I thought, like, what Javi said afterwards, he was like, I was surprised, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's the manager's decision, and he'll be back ready to help the team the next day.
Yeah.
These are pros. I don't know that you break their spirit. And you do. Javi Baez has failed on big stages and succeeded on big stages. This is not a man lacking in confidence or with a spirit that is easily broken, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was told by Joe Maddon, hey, if you lay off that stuff low and outside, the off-speed stuff, you're Manny Ramirez. He hasn't changed one thing in his approach because being him to this point, right, makes him a god. It's one of the most popular players in all of baseball. On the cover of video games, riches and fame beyond his wildest imagination with more to come, and a crazy slugging percentage throughout the majority of this season.
Like, and doing it his way.
Doing it his way. And so that we've talked about this for years with Javi. That, like, I don't think that when he gets pulled, any shame or embarrassment from that moment stays with him very long. He doesn't strike me as a guy who deals with much in the way of self-doubt or embarrassment on a baseball field.
Well, this is intended as a smack in the butt and a wake-up call.
For all of them, though.
For all of them, certainly. But for Javi, you want to be that guy at the plate during your own at-bats? I can't really tell you not to do that. And Ross has said that before. He's not going to tell him not to do that.
Go get your numbers, be selfish, whatever.
But,
yeah.
But when you're in the field, you're a team guy. When you're on the base paths, you are a team guy. And there's a standard of what everybody does and what we expect. And that was violated. That's been violated. And that's what Ross cannot stand for.
I got no problem with it.
Me neither.
I thought it was a signature moment for David Ross still fairly early in his tenure. I thought how the team responded, at least with their words after the game, if not their actions on the field, their words showed that they have no real problem with it. But what it says about where they're at, that this sort of thing needed to happen now, despite them being in all of it. I want to talk about it with you coming up. Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
You know, he saw one thing, I saw another thing, and he just took me out of the game. You know, like I say, there's no hard feelings right now, and we talk right after the game. We are in the same pace right now. I didn't like I got taken out of the lineup, and you know, obviously Serge was not completely ready, which is what I didn't like. But you know, things happen against, you know, between brothers, teammates, and and managers, it happens. And we obviously try to be in the same patient and trying to help the team as much as we can.
Reasonable from Javi Baez after getting pulled, says he didn't like that Sergio Alcantara wasn't ready to go in, but that's what happens when you put your team in a bad position. And he owned it enough. It was an interesting situation because they've had these things happen before, and there hasn't been that tough love accountability in the moment publicly from David Ross. But at this point, it was his breaking point.
Yeah, he did it with Schwarber last year in September. Remember, he said in the offseason he wanted to be less patient. He's watched what we've watched. That team's looked bad this month, man.
Really bad.
Just, and it's not just at the plate. It's not just with the starting pitching. It's been with some sloppy defense, some sloppy base running. Rizzo, the game before, you know, I mean, there's been a lot. There's been a lot of guys. But what Javi did was just so glaring and an accumulation of things that finally got to Ross. And I thought it was fascinating to hear those guys talk about it. I think Javi did take accountability for it. We'll see if the message fully gets through and he accepted it. Ross talking about it and around it while praising Javi and saying he's going to be back was really interesting. Him admitting that it was sitting in the pit of his stomach all game.
Yeah, let's hear David Ross, how he handled the words about it. We know his actions, and actions over words, but here are his words after the game.
I like to keep some of those things in-house. I mean, I think it's, you know, we just got to make sure we're focused and locked in during the game. And, you know, sometimes our frustrations can distract us a little bit. And we had a good conversation, and I think that's behind us. You know, Javi's really important to this team, and, you know, he's a leader on this team and sets a good example every time he's on the field. And, you know, one of the guys that I rely on to, you know, set a good example for all these guys who I think highly of him and his skill set. So yeah, I think it's just a little bit of lax of concentration. We talked about it and that's behind us. I did not feel good to take Javi out of the game. That is, I definitely would agree with that statement. I'd never feel comfortable doing that at all. That's a pit in my stomach and was in my stomach the entire game.
You got to do what you got to do. And here's the thing. I don't need him to crush him after the game. That's what a good manager does. We talked about how Tony La Russa, you know, backed up the truck over his players.
Yes, he did.
Earlier in the year. And that's not what a manager is supposed to do. Criticize him in-house, protect him publicly. That's management 101.
Yes, this is the slap and tickle, right? This is the slap and then, or the massage, the slap and massage. I wondered whether the full-on slap, public and private, might be more effective for Javi. I don't know.
Yeah, well, so,
but I wondered about it.
Yeah, I think that's totally reasonable. But again, with these types of situations, we don't know what was said after the game. If they talked and he admonished him privately, mm-hmm. he doesn't need to do it publicly. And I think that it's good leadership not to.
Yeah,
right. Like that. His job is to do that. The thing with Javi is, when you say we'll see if the message got through, I will be shocked if anything about him changes, man. For good or for bad, he is a static, stationary. This is just who he is. He has extreme highs and extreme lows.
But the thing is, his instincts, as displayed on the base paths and defensively, when he is mindful and present, are among the best I've ever seen. Among the best any of us have ever seen.
Yes.
That was La La Land on the base paths. That can change. That level of focus and mindfulness can change.
Right, but I think that it's also in play that it, tonight, over the next few weeks or whatever, it gets locked back in, but he will revert. There will be moments of mindlessness, right? Like I don't believe that all of a sudden some light switch is going to go on and he's going to be locked in all the time. It just doesn't. And listen, that's probably not what David Ross is expecting either. Who is locked in 100% of the time?
Right. Well, he's expecting maybe one more time. Maybe one or two instances where this kind of thing happens that Javi will just have that extra little, oh, I remember when I got benched. That sucked.
Yeah, it was embarrassing.
Yeah,
whatever.
It was embarrassing. I had to talk about it and eat crap in front of everyone. Yeah, I don't want that to happen. Like, that's just hops in there, and one time it gets him a little more focused. And if everybody else is watching, you know, I mean, I don't know if Rizzo is I mean, that's a pretty made guy. But if everybody else is watching and sees, oh, my God, he'll do that with anybody.
That's another part of leadership.
You bet it is.
Right? Belichick and Brady, they always talk about how he had to coach him as hard as anybody.
Yes.
Right? You make an example of him, and then everybody else fell in line. That's like one of his main pillars 100%. Of coaching and leadership.
100%. So if everybody else sees that. Can I tell you the at-bat that drove me nuts? And I think it didn't lose the game, but the huge at-bat. Eric Sogard, your job is to make contact.
Oh, after the seeing eye double by Hayward,
yes.
When it was Hayward and Rizzo on, down 3-0. Yeah, that was
you're
tough.
Down 3-0. You have a gift double with good hustle by Hayward.
That's the only way Hayward can hit an extra base hit, by the way, right now. A ground ball, like three hopper that finds a hole, and then the shift was on, so no one was there covering second base. And they're like, it's a double in the scorebook.
He kept running.
He did keep running.
So you've got two in scoring position, and you've got a contact guy. This is why you're there, is you are a contact guy. And he's a lefty up against a right-handed middle reliever. It's not a starter. It's not Savale, who was great, who had to leave. It's not Karinchak or Class A or even Brian Shaw. It's Nick Whitgren. It's Nick effing Whitgren, middle relief, man.
Yeah.
In that spot, that at bat has to end with him putting the ball in play. It just has to. And it didn't. And that sucked.
The team has struggled with contact and stringing hits together and being too home run reliant. But then when one of your contact guys is up in that spot, because I think JD even said on the broadcast at that time, he's like, you know, a long one ties the game. And that's just the mentality in baseball right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Thinking about, well, what would happen if a home run is hit right now? And then they flash Sogard's numbers and it's like one home run on the season. And I just wonder how much that thought process has permeated everything, because it's clearly permeated how we watch it. Oh, just got to get one guy on and then put one over the wall, yeah. And you can erase a two-run.
But he's the guy.
He's the contact guy.
He's the contact guy who historically doesn't get swayed by that trash and just and makes contact. And
I was thinking it, watching it.
No, like, I get it. I get it. But he pushed the count full. I mean, they need those contact guys back. They need Horner back. They need and they need Matt Duffy back. Shane needs to reacquire the case of Matt Duffy,
you know,
fever.
I've been feeling nice and cool and chilled lately, but I would very much welcome a higher body temperature.
Yes.
For you Cub fans to feel a little bit better about your contact rate.
It's kind of you.
It's why he missed to go to the White Sox game. He came down with a terrible case of Matt Duffy
fever. Look at
that.
If you reacquire Matt Duffy fever, you could call in sick once or twice, and I think we'd be fine with that.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, sounds good to me. Bring him back.
I got
him. Bring
fever.
Matt Duffy back.
Yeah, it would
the
work.
The only prescription is less Matt Duffy.
We have Vinny Goodwill coming on at 3:20. I'm faced with a conundrum tonight as a sports fan that I'd like to share with you. And your game just tweeted big things coming.
Who are they, Danny?
They're taking my line. What does it mean? It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.